The latest from the hunger strike at the notorious U.S. prison in Guantanamo. One of the most famous inmates says the strike has now grown to include 130 prisoners. Shakir Ahmed has told his lawyer that prison officials have been trying to break the strike without success. Ahmed says that he has lost about 14 kilograms during the strike that began on February the 6th. Reports say many others have also lost dangerous amounts of weight and are now being force-fed through the nose. Some detainees have even complained of not being given drinking water or forced to cope with extremely low temperatures. Yet they say they're prepared to die unless their indefinite detention comes to an end. The International Committee of the Red Cross has increased its visits to the Guantanamo Bay prison facility, raising concerns about the health of the hunger strikers. Meanwhile, protests outside the U.S. embassy in Yemen. Yemeni activists and relatives of Guantanamo Bay detainees call for the release of prisoners from the notorious detention center. The protest comes on the 55th day of a hunger strike by the detainees, that is, at the U.S.-run facility. It's believed that around 90 out of the current 166 Guantanamo prisoners are Yemenis. Some are among the 33 inmates who've been on hunger strike since February the 6th. They began the strike to protest the prison guards' desecration of the Holy Quran and their open-ended detention without charge. This is despite campaign promises by U.S. President Barack Obama to close the notorious facility in his first year in office. Joining us via Skype from Ontario, Canada, is Edward Corrigan. He's a human rights attorney. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV, sir. Now, looking at the demands of these prisoners, and they say that they are prepared to die unless their indefinite detention comes to an end. It seems the conditions must be extremely bad for them to say they're prepared to die. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. They've been held in Guantanamo Bay without charge for some of them up for 10, 11, even 12 years. This is clearly illegal. You cannot detain people without charges. In fact, most of the detainees are there because the United States offered a reward to people to turn over members of Al-Qaeda. So a lot of people, just to make money, turned over people to the Americans, collected the money, and there's little or no basis for actually many, maybe even the majority of the inmates who are there. They're not guilty of anything. And actually the Americans are aware of that, but they also know that they have tortured people, they've used waterboarding. There's a recent, they just backed off on the testimony of one individual who said he had no involvement with Al-Qaeda, yet they used his testimony as a way of arresting and as a basis for holding many, many other people. And now they've sort of contradict themselves, say this guy had no evidence. But I think if I was tortured or waterboarded for 160 times, they could probably say that I would be ready to say I was Osama bin Laden. Of course, it's not true. Torture is not a reliable way of getting information. And a lot of the people are there innocent. And the Americans are aware of this, but they also know it's a huge problem if they release people that they've held for 10 or more years based upon fabricated evidence or no evidence at all, and that this would be a huge political embarrassment for them. So they continue the detention. Many of the people there clearly are innocent. Many of them are Yemenis, and they've been turned over by people for petty reasons or for, get rid of a rival or some enemy. And, they've gone to the point now that you're 55 days in a hunger strike. There's also a hunger strike that's not being covered in the West about the Palestinian prisoners in Israeli detention. But clearly, this is, massive contravention of international law. It's a contravention of American law, but they don't apply American law to Guantanamo Bay because it's a base on Cuba, which they've held since 1898. And it's considered outside of the United States jurisdiction. But the basic fundamentals of law are the same. You cannot hold people without charge. You cannot hold people without having a legitimate basis. And you cannot incarcerate people, let alone torture them, without legitimate cause. And of course, torture is illegal and under any circumstances. And of course, it's proven not to work. You can force people to say anything they want, but it's not reliable. And that's what the experts say.
Right. Now, a lot of the prisoners that are being held in Guantanamo have been declared by the U.S. government as, quote, unsuitable for prosecution, yet too dangerous to release. You're an attorney. What exactly does that even mean in legal language?
It's utter nonsense. If they have no basis for holding them, they're considered too dangerous to release because of what the Americans have subjected them to, and they don't want that information to go out in the public. But this is really hiding up criminality in the part of the American authorities, the fact they've tortured people. Also, the soldiers there have desecrated the Quran, did a whole pile of other things. They're force feeding the soldiers. So they don't want that information to get out. That's why they're saying that they're too dangerous to release, because it would be a major embarrassment for the United States authorities. And plus, people would tell what was going on in that horrible detention center. You know, the conditions are terrible, but using torture and doing these other things are clearly illegal. So this is just an attempt to cover up criminality on the part of the American authorities. That's why they can't release them now, even though they know that many of them are innocent, even may perhaps the majority of them are innocent. But of course, if your life is being destroyed, you've been tortured, and you're being held without charge and no indefinitely, this is, you know, a breach of just about every law that you can imagine, and is indefensible from a legal point of view.
Indeed. And Mr. Corrigan, what happens if prisoners start dying? Would it make a difference, in your opinion?
Well, it's up to the world press to focus on them. You know, if it certainly puts pressure. The Israelis actually conceded to the hunger strikers in Israel and granted many of their demands. Hunger striking as a tactic has been used by the Irish, for example, in the 1916 rising, and by Bobby Sands, who starved himself to death, but in the meantime had been elected a member of parliament. So it is like a desperate last-ditch political tactic to draw attention to illegality and abuses on the part of the American authorities, or in Bobby Sands' case, the British authorities. And it will focus a lot of attention around the world, but you know, the American public says, it's out of mind, out of sight, we don't really concerned about it. But there was very, very little coverage of the Palestinian hunger strike in North America. And I'm seeing only in the alternative press and some of the foreign press coverage of the hunger strike in Guantanamo Bay. So the vast majority of Americans, even though it's a so-called free press, they don't know about it. They're not aware of the situation. It's we need the international media, the British media, the Guardian, the Observer, the Times of London, and hopefully the New York Times and Washington Post before this becomes an issue of concern to the American people. But the American government has really kept a tight lid on it. They don't allow publicity. They, in fact, even had taped recorded the conversations with the lawyers in the prison of Guantanamo Bay, and they even had a delay on the trial so that they could censor any of the information that occurred at the trial. They didn't want to get out in the public. Some of it, they claim this is all national security, but I think the majority of it is, in fact, that they're just trying to protect their public image and try to prevent the American public and the world public from finding out what's actually going on.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. I'm afraid we have run out of time. That was human rights attorney Edward Corrigan there joining us via Skype from Ontario, Canada. And many thanks indeed, Mr. Corrigan, for your comments here on Press TV.